Tell them you can't have peace without righteousness. Psalms 1 and 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. If you want God hovering over your life path, if you want God involved in your household and in your relationships, righteousness has to be an integral part of what you're doing in that house and what you're doing in those relationships. Praise God. God's not interested in being a part of an illicit relationship. God's not interested in being a part of a home that's a fake and that's full of all kinds of problems. God will come there to help you, but you've got to get on board with God. You've got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Psalms 55, he said he'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. You want to be solid in your home and in your family and in your relationships and in your life, a solid person that people can depend upon. You've got to get righteousness moving in your life. Proverbs chapter 3, his secret is with the righteous. God will reveal himself to you if you'll pursue righteousness. Well, praise God. God will reveal himself to you. Anybody want to see more of God? Anybody want to know him better? Praise God. Proverbs 13, the light of the righteous rejoiceth. You've got to understand this if you're going to have real joy in your life. Real joy doesn't come in a cesspool of sin. Real joy doesn't come from living like this world. This world has to have a drink to have joy. This world has to have cocaine to have joy. This world has to have a new husband, a new wife, a new husband, a new wife to have joy, because the old things just get so old and stale. But the Bible said if you'll embrace righteousness, you can have rejoicing in your life. Praise God. Married for 30 years and we still love one another because we got the righteousness of God in the house. Now that's what I'm talking about. My God, go ahead, shout a little bit. That would be good for you. A good aerobic workout. All right, Aiden, sweetheart, we're in the right place. I was wondering if we'd stumble into a Baptist church this morning. This is a Pentecostal church. The sign says so. Praise God. I don't mean to ride you, but we can't have fun like that. Can't enjoy this like that. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, God told the prophet, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Praise God. I want righteousness in my life. I want God to say, it shall be well with him. That's a blanket statement. How can God say that? He doesn't know what kind of giant you're going to face tomorrow. But the word's already out there. It shall be well with him. It doesn't matter the size of the giant. It doesn't matter the size of the obstacle. It doesn't matter the type of pressure you're going to face. It doesn't matter the danger that rides up in your life. Because it shall be well with him. Praise God. I don't know about you. I want God's favor on my life. I want the hand of God's blessing on my life. I want to please him. I want it to be well with my life. Praise God. Now, just theologically speaking, Paul kind of bursts our bubble and says, well, you may want this righteousness, but he said there's none righteous. No. Not one. And the prophet would say in the 64th of Isaiah, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It doesn't mean you can't have it. It just means it doesn't come from you. It doesn't mean you can't be it. It just means you can't make it. You can't produce righteousness. But you can get on board with God's righteousness. This psalm says his word is righteousness. God himself is righteousness. If I crawl up and shelter myself in the word of God, I can have everything that God is. Well, praise God. Righteousness is like holiness. It's like anointing. It's a quality unique to God. And it can only be achieved or attained by association with God, by embracing the things of God, and by God imparting those things to us. Somebody say praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God gave Abraham righteousness. But you have to read James chapter 2 to understand that, because James explains it and says it wasn't so much that he believed, it was that in chapter 22, some years later, he takes that little boy, Isaac, to the top of a mountain, and he's going to offer him up as a sacrifice. And James says that's when the righteousness came down on him, when he did something. Turn to your neighbor and say, righteousness is not what you think or feel. Righteousness is what you do. Praise God. Brother Randy, can we get Ezekiel chapter 18? This is a good little study in repentance. And it's also a good study in righteousness, in the demonstration that righteousness is not what you think or feel, but righteousness is what you do. I mentioned that for the 5 millionth time, not just to be redundant. Everything out there in the theological world says righteousness is what you believe. And that Abraham got righteousness when he believed. But you got to read the second chapter of James, Aiden, to understand that righteousness is what you do. It is right. It's right. Brother Tony, have you stopped beating your wife? One of those questions. Every night he beats her with a chair leg. No, let's do it. Let's do it the other. Every night she beats him with a chair leg. And while she's doing it, she says, I love you. And when you're picking yourself up all snotty and bloody and messed up and barely can't get across the floor, she says, I want you to remember that I love you. So what do you think? Yeah, love is not what you feel or what you say. Love is what you do. Faith is not what you feel or what you say. Faith is what you do. Well, I have faith. Well, how are you living? Every drunk on every bar stool in Birmingham believes in God. Every one of them. And they can discuss theology with you. And they will tell you they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And some punk preacher told them that they were saved because they believed in their heart. And their life hasn't changed. Now you say, that's sacrilegious. You can't call him a punk. I'll tell you, he's a punk because he doesn't have the guts to say what the Word of God said. You want to be saved? You've got to believe. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, and you've got to live a holy life. I got to have that in the tape for Aiden. That was just a convenient place to put that. But she needs to have Acts 2:38 in this tape, or it's not a fit baby dedication. Faith is what you do. And so righteousness is what you do. You're not righteous because of how you feel or who your mommy was or how you think. But you're righteous. James says the devil believes that there's one God. And the proposition he's making is that if belief only does it, the devil's saved. It just occurred to me, we're getting emails every week, almost daily, from all over the country, people that are listening into this. I said, punk. That's P-U-N-K, punk. If you had guts, you'd stand and preach the truth this morning if they all got up and walked out. Righteousness is what you do. Ezekiel chapter 18. And starting in verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why don't you read this with me? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. And all the fathers and sons breathe a sigh of relief. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. See, you can't get righteousness, and people in the scripture are considered to be righteous, so it's been imparted to them from God. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Everybody's responsible for their behavior, his or her behavior. At the white throne judgment, every man was judged according to his works. The parable of the sheep and the goats, and they were all judged, or the determination about their soul was made by what they did or what they did not do. Nowhere in those judgmental discussions is an idea about what they think or what they feel. It's just what they do. So righteousness here determined by what he does. Wickedness here determined by, I mean, how do you know somebody's wicked? Brother George, you're a wicked person. And I don't mean wicked in the good sense. Language is so twisted up today. But you're a wicked person. Do you know Brother George? He's a wicked man. Well, but you shouldn't just jump on board here. You should ask for some kind of qualification. Yeah, but this is your brother. You want to say, well, what makes him so bad? What makes him wicked? What did he do? Well, see, he just believes wicked. He just believes in his heart wicked. That makes him wicked. No, that's not going to bother you. He beats up little old ladies and kicks cats. And, well, kicking cats, that's not a problem, but beats up little old ladies. He's wicked. But wickedness would be determined in our discussion about George by what he does. And you would evaluate his wickedness by the report that I gave you. You got to understand righteousness is based on what you do. Praise God. You want to be righteous, you have to be righteous. You want to be accounted righteous, you have to live righteously. But if the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. You can undo your wickedness by changing what you do. All his transgressions that he's committed. Transgressions, that's something you do. Committed, that's a verb, means you've done something. They shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he hath done, that he hath done, that he hath done, he shall live. So the wicked quit the transgressions. The wicked quit the wickedness. And now God looks at him as righteousness because he's doing righteousness. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? That's rhetorical. It means absolutely not. I don't want the wicked to die. I want them to turn and become righteous. But when the righteous, now this is scary for all the righteous in the house, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations, he commits iniquity and he does according to the abominations. These are things that he does. Wickedness is what you do. If you're doing wicked, you're wicked. If you're doing righteous, you're righteous. I know that this is not difficult, but the theological world we live in is really insane. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. So righteousness and wickedness are determined by what you do. Aiden, you need to get this, sweetheart. Because you're going to be judged righteous or wicked by the things that you do. So we're invested around here to build you a big old extended family and a preacher and a Sunday school teacher and a choir and people that sing and people that pray, and they're all on your side and they're in your corner and they want you to live according to the Word of God so that God can stand with you in that day and say, she's a righteous baby. She's a righteous kid. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Alignment with the Word of God is righteousness. Now, I'm going to stop, and you can go ahead and gather the crowd up. But if there's somebody in this house who needs to come to this altar today, I wouldn't wait for me to finish. I would be in the altar right now. Here's a cardinal rule about when to come to the altar. When to come to the altar is when you need God right now more than you need anything else. Time to come to the altar. Don't worry about it. I got the Holy Ghost midway of the guy's sermon. Because somewhere in the middle of his sermon he said, if you wanted to stand up in the middle of this church right now, you could get the Holy Ghost. I don't know if he was just preaching or if he meant it. But I stood up and lifted up my hands and God filled me with the Holy Ghost right in the middle of the service. If you need to repent of your wickedness and you need to begin a pursuit of righteousness, an altar's there for you right now. Praise God. Psalms 119 and beginning with verse 137. God is righteous. Everybody say, the Word of God is right. Praise God. Chapter 138 there in the 119th. Thy testimonies are righteous and faithful. Everybody say, His Word is faithful. Is there anybody here that you found that through life experience that His Word is faithful? You've lifted up your life to Him and He's touched your life and He's made the difference. God is faithful. Brother Ted, Sister Charlene, y'all can bring your own down. Verse 141, and the writer said, I'm small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Praise God. When they made the Colt 45, and it was introduced in the post-Civil War era, and it began to propagate out through the West, that was a big bore pistol. And they called it the Great Equalizer. Because up to then, if you were a little guy and there were big lumberjack types around, they could just slap you around anytime they wanted, have their way with you, take what you had. But if a big, big hoss of a man walked up to you and you were small and despised and you pulled out that big 45, it just changed the whole script. And you didn't have to be, you could have been 4'6". And it wouldn't have mattered if he was 8 feet tall and ate nails for breakfast. Nothing would have mattered. They called it the Great Equalizer. The psalmist here said, I'm small and I'm despised, but I'm not going to forget the Word of God. He's saying the Word of God is the Great Equalizer. You may be standing all by yourself. You may be very, very small. I want this baby to know, I want these parents to know, that you may feel vulnerable. You may feel like this is a world that's full of hostility and trouble. But you need to know that the Word of God is the great equalizer. The Word of God makes the difference. Praise God. It's okay. Take pictures. Praise God. Play something happy. That sounds like a dirge. Yeah, so I'm happier. Praise God. The psalmist said, in my times of trouble, in verse 143, the word is my delight. In Psalms 119, 144, he said, I can find life in the word of God. Life is about actualizing potential. Life is about her being or fulfilling everything that is in her, that God has placed in her, becoming as great and as powerful as God has planted within her. That's what life is. It's the fulfillment, the actualization of potential. And that's what we want for her today. She can't do that without the Word of God. People may be successful in secular ways, but they're empty without the spiritual component. And essentially, when you die, you can't take any of that with you. But you can take what God's put on the inside of you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We got a host of family here, grandparents and aunts and uncles and godparents, all kind of connections. And we've got a little Bible for her here. Brother Ted, now this is the drill, you know, but she won't be able to read this for a long time. But before she's able to read it and have any skill in it with understanding, she's already going to be singing it. She's already going to be praying it. She's already going to have Sunday school classes where she's going to hear the stories before she's ever able to go exploring by herself. You know, she's going to know a lot about it just by interaction with the church. Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you before God and all of these witnesses today, will you keep this and will you treasure it and will you make it a prominent part of her life? Will you? All right. It's the charge then. You're going to be a dad that'll bring her to the house of God and raise her up in the way that she should go and tell her what's right, even though it hurts. Now, see, with these boys, you can beat them. But let me just tell you, your world just got different. Your world just changed. And she's about to come up and say, Daddy. And you're just going to reach for your wallet. You're going to get that glazed look in your eyes. But you need to straighten up and stand in the mirror and practice saying, no, Aiden. No. Say that.
No, Aiden.
There you go. It's a good start. It's a good start. They must be showing a slideshow behind me. I'm hearing the oohs and the ahs. Praise God. So, Charlene, are you going to be a godly mother? She's going to learn how to pray by hearing the voice of your prayers. She's going to see you faithful in the house of God. You're going to bring her to the house of God and be a godly example for her, because she's going to follow right behind you. She's going to follow right behind you. It's scary. She's going to want to be like you, and she's going to want to marry somebody like you. This is a scary proposition. So the question is, what kind of man do I want to be, and what kind of a mom do I want to be? You're going to commit yourself, because she's not. We're not dedicating her today. We're dedicating both of you. Praise God. Well, let's pray for them, church. Extend your hand. If you're a grandparent or aunt or uncle here, reach over here, lay your hands on them. Let's pray for them together. By the name above every name, I pray, God, for Aiden, that your hand would be upon her for health and strength. That you'd bless her, God. Bless her little life. Cause her, God, to fulfill every wonderful promise. Let the dreams of God move in her mind and in her spirit. Cause her, God, to walk according to your word. Make a way before her now. I pray for Sister Charlene, God, the hand of God upon her life, the word of God moving through her. Cause this household to be blessed. Let her children rise up and call her blessed, oh God. I pray that you would make her the handmaiden of God, powerful in prayer, anointed in worship and an example. Pray, God, for Brother Ted right now, wisdom and understanding for his home, wisdom for his family, God. Give him, God, an anointing on his life. Cause him, God, to be blessed and to be a blessing. Pray you do it in Jesus' name. All over the house, let's give God praise and thanks. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's an excellent day to be in the Lord's house. And you want to come by here and you want to extend the right hand of Christian fellowship to Sister Aiden and into this family. But it's so good to see you all here. We're going to do this again tonight. 5:15 for choir and 6 o'clock for prayer. And we'll have an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you. Brother Gerald Miller is going to go down in the water in Jesus' name.